How many is ready to get out of your comfort zone? Let me ask that again. How many is ready to get out of your comfort zone? All right, that's pretty good. I have to kind of crank that a little bit, don't I? You know, that's not an easy statement. Many of you sound like I do in the morning time. That when my son gets up and gets me up at 6 o'clock, they go and take him to band practice early. And I'm sitting in the recliner waiting on him like this. Trying to catch a few more, you know, Z's. And I'm dozing in and out. And he's like, Dad, come on. We're going to be late. And I'm like, go start the car. What I'm really saying is I just want 15 more seconds. You know, 15 more seconds in my comfort zone. I'm right here. He's like, Dad, come on. I'm going to be late. All right. And it's not a natural process to want to get out of our comfort zone. That's why many of you are saying, yeah, it's not an easy thing to do. It's not a natural response of the human condition because there's a reason why it's a comfort zone. We like it there. We're comfortable. We don't like change. We don't want to push past where we're at. We don't want to have to deal with things that maybe God wants to deal with in our life. We don't want to step out in faith. But God is calling us out of our comfort zone. If we're going to walk, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago, that we got to learn to defeat the lazy boy spirit as Christians, not get sucked into this lazy boy spirit. You know, somewhere along the year, second year as a Christian, we get pulled right into here. We've lost all of our Christian friends. We listen to all Christian music. We have good Christian teaching, good Christian fellowship, and we get pulled into this island of being comfortable in our Christianese world. And there's nothing wrong with those things I just listed. We need those things to sharpen us and to make us better. But if we're not careful, it'll also isolate us into a comfort zone. And if we're not careful, we lose our passion. I mean, the most passionate people for Christ are the people who just get saved. You ever notice that? And usually someone who's been in church a long time will say, just give them a little bit, they'll settle down. I mean, what kind of statement is that? They'll settle down. They'll learn. You just can't be so excited about God. It'll never float out there in the world. Give me a break. What kind of hogwash is that, man? What kind of nonsense is that, that we're to lose that loving feeling? How many know that many of us here, we've lost that loving feeling? Turn to your neighbor and say, you never close your eyes. How many know what I'm talking about? We've lost that loving feeling, and God says, no, I want you to get out of your comfort zone, get back into that excitement that you had when I changed your life. Maybe the reason why some of us get here in our comfort zone is because we don't want God to change us, therefore we don't have anything to be excited about. Woo, that just hurt, didn't it? That hurt. We don't want to stay right here because right here we don't have to change. But when we get out of our comfort zone, God changes us, and then we have something to share about how God is changing us. So we got to learn to let God change us. Today, we're going to talk about, do you fish? Turn to your neighbor and ask them that question. Do you fish? We have any fishermen in the house today that like to fish? Any people like, raise your hand if you like to fish. All right, well, I'm speaking to a good crowd here today. Do you fish? You see, you and I are called to make disciples. Jesus said, go ye and make disciples. He never said, sit thee, Vinny. Sit thee and thy Christianized world and make disciples out of your Christian lazy boy. No, he said, get up and go. You can't go when you're sitting. You got to get up and go. Where? Into all the world. And to do what? To make disciples. He says, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Why? So that you can sit in your Christian lazy boy and feel all good about yourself. No, he says, you'll receive power, what? To be his witness, to go and to be his witness. This is why you and I have received the power of the Holy Spirit, to go, to make a difference. And thank you for that, amen, hallelujah, right there. One person has got it today. So you and I, we're going to preach right here in the back row. You and me, Bubba, we got it. I'll pay you later. Thank you for that. All right. Matthew 14, look at our text. Look what Jesus said. Let's pick it up halfway through verse 18 and read verse 19. And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who was later named Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Look what Jesus says now. Come, follow me. Anybody here want to be a follower of Jesus? So this should relate to you and I, right? Jesus says, come, be my follower. Come, follow me. And Jesus said, and I will what? Make you fishers of men. So the question is today, do you fish? I want to give you some statements about fishing today. And one of the first statements I want to make is this. If you're a follower, you're a fisher, right? If you are following Jesus, you're fishing, right? He says, follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you're a fisher. And so if that is true, according to what we just read, then the opposite is also true, which is this. If you're not fishing, you're not following. Isn't that good? If you're not fishing, you're not following. I know you guys are just loving this morning, aren't you? Because many of us here are like, ouch, that really hurts. Many of us here are like, man, that really hurts this morning to hear that statement. If you're following, you're fishing. If you're not fishing, you're not truly following. Because true followers will become fishers. We are called to be fishers of men according to what Scripture says. They're tough statements to make, but we got to realize we are to do that. Let me give you some more statements about fishing, I think, that go along with this Scripture and really relate to our life. First of all, I know this about being fishermen. You must be persistent. You got to keep on casting. How many fishermen here? It's very, very seldom that you take that cast and zzzz. Oh, yeah, that's nice. Just like that, man. And very seldom do you catch a fish on the first cast. True? Very seldom. I mean, once in a great blue moon, you'll catch a fish on the first cast. Usually it takes many casts to start catching the fish. It takes many casting out there to find out where they're at. Sometimes you move from one spot to another spot. You find a shaded area. You find a tree hanging out over the water. Or you find a tree that's fallen into the water. Or you find a little cove area where fish are gathering. You got to move around. You got to keep casting to catch fish, right? Any good fisherman would tell you this. You just don't catch fish the first time. You cast. So don't be afraid to cast out your life. And just because you don't catch anything the first time, it's okay. It's all right. See, we're casting out our life for Jesus. Keep on casting. Keep telling people how God has changed your life. You see, every time I tell somebody what God has done in my life, this is what I'm doing. Let me tell you what God has done in my life. Let me tell you about how he sustained my marriage through a hard time. Let me tell you about how he helped me when I lost my job. Let me tell you about how God helped me when my health went really bad. Let me tell you about how God helped restore my marriage. See, every time I'm telling something about what God has done in my life, I'm throwing out the line. I'm casting. And not everybody's going to bite the first time. It's okay. It may not bite, but you keep casting, keep casting, keep casting. Because I know if I cast, I'll eventually catch something. But I also got to know this. To catch fish, you must use the right bait. Isn't that true? To catch fish, you must use the right bait. If I'm going to go out and try to catch some big mouth bass, I'm going to use a nice, pretty spinner bait, man. That thing that makes turbulence in the water, man. And those big mouth bass, they love coming up and grabbing those things out of the water. If I want to catch catfish, what am I going to use? I'm going to use some old dried fish guts, man, or something like that. Something really stinking. Some chicken livers, you know. Catfish are eating anything that stinks. That's just about it. Matter of fact, you can buy stuff that's called stink bait, and then catfish love it. It stinks. It smells like the men's bathroom and the dormitory of the boys' teenager. I mean, it's bad, okay? It's bad. But those catfish are eating. You got to know how to catch the fish according to the bait you use. True? So, in order to this, you got to know what bait is going to work with the fish you're trying to catch. If you have a friend at work that you want to connect with, and you know that person is a sports fan, then you say, hey, how about you come over for Monday Night Football this week and we'll grill and have dinner together. Bring your family over to our family. I just casted out the line. Football, I'll be there. Grill, food, I will be there. And I've just casted out the line for something that they're going to want. See, I've got to cast out bait that people like. This is what's not going to happen. I can guarantee you this. You're not going to go to that friend at work who loves football, who loves to grill, and take the biggest Bible you got and say, in the name of Jesus, I tell you right now, you better repent and get saved. Or you're going to hell, you big heathen. And if you don't repent, I'm going to make you meet Jesus. I'm going to hit you in the head with this Bible. No, it never works that way. But what does work is not me bringing my biggest Bible. What does work is me allowing the Word of God to come alive in my life. And I simply share how the Word of God has changed my life. I don't have to be a Bible scholar. I just got to be transformed by God's Word. Because the Word of God did not come to bring me what? Information. It came to bring me transformation. That's right. And so as I share how the Word of God and how the relationship with Jesus Christ has transformed my life, has healed my life, I'm casting out the line. I'm called to be a fisherman, to cast out that line. Use the right bait when you're trying to reach people. We say this all the time, and write it down. It's a very important statement. It's the most theological statement you're going to get this morning. You ready? Write this down. Feed them, and they will come. Hallelujah. So deep, isn't it? But there's one thing that every one of us have in common here this morning is we all like to eat. Correct? We all like to eat. Look around at us. Some of us like to eat a lot. Many of us like to eat a lot. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God's moving up here. All right, there you go. We like to eat, so why not use the thing that everybody likes to do? Come to my house for dinner. Come to my house. Let's cook out. Let's grill. Let's go. Can we go eat lunch tomorrow at work? And just sit down with somebody and just share your life. Just do life. I'm not coming and bringing my favorite six scriptures to hit them in the head. That's not going to win anybody to God. But when I just sit down and have a meal and listen to what they're going through in their life, and then for me to be able to share what God's done in my life to change, that will do more to catch fish than anything else you'll ever do in your life. Taking time to listen to somebody and taking time to feed them and to eat with them. Wow, what a spiritual concept. It's not about how good you preach or if you have the right words to say. It's about can you open up your home? Can you do lunch together? Can you buy someone a dinner? Can you grill on your grill and have someone over? Can you do those things? Yeah, we can all do that. This is how we fish. You got to use the right bait. My job is to fish. God's job is to catch. Isn't that good? It's my job to fish. It's God's job to catch. See, my job is to do what? My job is to throw out the line. This is what God has done in my life. Zzz, this is how God has changed my life. Zzz, this is how I blew it, but God sustained me through it. Zzz, this is how I messed up big time, and God still loved me anyway. Shh, I'm throwing out my line. Listen, it's the Holy Spirit's job to set the hook. It's not my job to set the hook. I'm like, oh, get in this boat. I'm going to. No, I threw out the line and let the Holy Spirit set the hook in their spirit. When the time is right, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will take the words you say and hook them right there. And they'll say, you know what? I want what you have. I want to change my life as well. I want a better marriage. I need what God's doing in your life. I need that in my life. And the Holy Spirit will take that hook and set it. And all of a sudden, you find yourself reeling in a fish. And you're like, whoa. Wow! This is awesome. I'll just tell you this. I've preached to thousands of people across the U.S. and across different nations. I've done a lot of big things for Jesus. But there's nothing that ever comes close to the joy and satisfaction of winning somebody to Jesus Christ personally. I'm not talking about just in the service. I'm talking about one-on-one. When you've led somebody to Jesus, somebody doesn't even know you're a pastor, and you witness to them, very seldom do I tell anybody my pastor when I'm in public. If they don't know it, I don't tell them. Because I just want to relate to them like they are, and I want to talk to them. There's many people here that came to church because I invited them. They didn't know I was even the pastor until they walked up. They called me up. Are you going to be there? Are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll be there. Yeah. I come in like, what are you telling me you're the pastor? Get down from there. That guy's going to be mad. What are you doing up there? I'm the pastor. Oh, whoa. You know, it takes them off guard. There's nothing like seeing someone Come to Jesus, man. That's why we were created. And nothing else will ever give you a great feeling. Talking about having the most high joy you'll ever have in your life, it comes through leading someone to Jesus. If you've never done it, boy, it's an awesome, awesome experience. And once you do it, you'll say, man, I got to keep doing that. That's awesome. But I got to realize this. It's my job to fish. It's God's job to catch. See, that takes the pressure off me. I just got to share what God's done in my life. This is not in your notes, but I want you to write it down as well. It's my job to fish, and it's God's job to clean the fish. Let me say it again. My job is to fish. It's God's job to clean the fish. Quit trying to clean the fish before you catch them. Some of us have been raised in a church where they taught you how to clean fish before you ever caught them. Well, you got to do this. You got to dress this way. You got to talk this way. You got to stop doing this. You got to, you know. No, we come to Jesus just as we are because we have all fallen short of God's kingdom. We have all sinned. None of us are perfect, and none of us have it together. And we come to Jesus just as we are. So my job as the fish is just to be a fisher's man and let God clean them. I love it. I love it that Destiny Church, we've had so many people over the years that come to me and say, Pastor, thank you so much for not judging me when we walk in your door. Thank you for not judging us and allow us to come. And you know what? We're changing who we are, and we want to stop doing this, and we're going to start doing this. And they begin to change things in their life that I never told them they had to change. What happened? They were here. The presence of God was strong, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them about changing in their life. And they said yes to that. You know what? That was awesome. God cleans the fish. We catch them. How many think that's a pretty good partnership? That's a good thing. Yeah. That's the worst job about fishing is having to clean the fish. I mean, no one likes to clean the fish. We all like to catch them, and we all like to eat them, but no one wants to clean them. That's not the favorite job. It's messy, and it's smelly, and those little eyes twitching at you while you're cutting it. It's not a good thing. How about we just let God clean the fish? How about we just cast the net? That's not a good idea. How many think that's a good thing for Destiny Church? We're going to let God clean the fish. Let's quit trying to clean them. Let's let God clean them. Let's just cast the net. Let's go to this statement. If you want to catch big fish, you use a guide. You ever thought about that? I mean, if you really want to catch big fish, you got to use a guide. If you want to go to a place, you know, if you've ever watched professional fishermen, if you've ever seen a tournament, I've actually been on lakes when they've actually had those professional tournaments going on. And they'll say, all right, the countdown starts in 10 seconds, 10, 9, the count, and the gun goes off. Those guys have got the fastest boats you've ever seen in your life. Those professional fishermen, they got the best, fastest boats you've ever seen. Why is that? Because they know where the best spots are, and they want to beat you to them, and they don't want you to see where it's at. I mean, they've been fishing those lakes all their life. They've been fishing these places, and they don't want you to see where they're going. So, man, those guys who are really good, they invest in a fast, fast, souped-up motor so they can outrun the competition, and you can't follow them to see where they're catching the big fish. Or if you go to the beach somewhere, maybe on the beach of Mexico, and they'll come up to you and say, hey, sir, you want to catch some big fish, man? They're bringing the pictures. They're like, for $100, bring me here tomorrow. I'll take out my boat. I'm going to catch some big fish. Why? Because they know exactly where to go. I'm not going to go rent some fishing gear up at the activities hut and come out there and fish in the ocean from the bank and catch anything. I might catch some swim trunks. I might catch a few kids on some inner tubes, but I ain't going to catch anything big. No, I got to have a guide take me out there in his boat and lead me to where the big fish are. So who is our guide? You've heard me teach you about this. Now, remember, the last series we just came out of a few series ago was what? Who is the Holy Spirit? And in that message, we talked about how the Holy Spirit will guide us daily. This is our guide. I wonder how many of us would change if every day we got up to Holy Spirit, show me where to cast my line today. Isn't that a simple prayer? But I wonder how many of us miss it every day. We miss the big catch that God has for us in our life. We miss the place he wants us to cast our line because we simply don't ask the guide. Ask the guide. Ask the Holy Spirit. Where do you want me to throw my line, Holy Spirit? Where do I need to go next? Where do I need to do next? Who do I need to talk to next? It may be the person at your job. It may be the person in your neighborhood. It may be the person you're standing in line with at Walmart. I don't know that. But the Holy Spirit will speak to you and allow you to catch it, allow you to cast it where you need to cast it. I notice one thing is you don't give up because one got away. Isn't that true? I mean, good fishermen never give up because one got away. I mean, I've hooked some big fish, and man, they'd be out there and they'd be jumping, and you're trying to reel them in, you know, and that, oh, it's exciting. Your blood's pumping, and you can see it, and it gets right up to the boat or right up to the edge, and right before you get it off, the thing breaks your line or gets caught up in a rock and snags and goes away. And you're like, oh, I mean, it's such a defeating thing in your spirit as a fisherman. But do you ever stop fishing? Well, that one big one got away. I ain't never fishing again. I've never ever met a fisherman that said that. Well, the big one got away, so I ain't never fishing again. No. It's like, you know what? Next time I'm going to catch that fish. And they keep on fishing. I used to have an uncle that used to take us fishing when I was a kid. And, man, he loved to fish, and he would fish all night long. He was retired. It was a much older uncle, more like a grandfather to me. My grandmother had 11 children. My dad was one of the youngest ones of that bunch. And so my older uncles are almost like grandfathers to me. And all the cousins would go out to his house in the summertime. And, man, he kept his truck, and he had a station wagon, and his garage full of, I mean, he had fishing poles galore, you know. So you could never show up with not enough fishing equipment. He had it ready to go. And he liked to fish all night. And so we loved going out there. We'd take the lanterns and set them up along the banks, and we'd throw out multiple rods. And most of the time, we spent more time playing than we did fishing. We just loved being out all night out there in the river. And if nothing was biting, my uncle would say, well, boys, I think we better go home tonight. I ain't nothing biting. Nothing's moving around. And we knew exactly what we wanted to do because we did not want to go home. We wanted to stay up all night. We wanted to fish all night. We didn't care what we was catching. We just wanted to be out there together playing all night because our mom and dad weren't going to let us do that. But Uncle Matthew did. Get on, Uncle Matthew. Good play. We'll see you in the dark. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so we would go up behind Uncle Matthew when he would say that. And we just kind of hit the end of our rod, you know, with our foot. And his rod would do this right here. And he'd go, hey, hang on. We ain't going nowhere. They're getting ready to bite. Hallelujah. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. And we were good for 2 more hours. We knew we had another 2 hours. We could just hang out. I mean, Uncle Matthew, just all he needed was his pole to shake. And he was good. Because why? Because real fishermen don't get upset when one gets away. They know this is the thrill of throwing it out there, man. And so that's what, I'm just going to throw out my testimony. I'm just going to share God's love. I'm just going to invite people to eat and share a meal. I'm just going to listen to somebody's problems. I'm just going to share how God has changed my life. And whatever happens, happens, man. Let the Holy Spirit deal with them. Maybe it'll be through what you share. Maybe somebody else comes along later and shares something else, and they're the ones who reap what you've done. It doesn't make a difference. My job is to cast it out, the fish. It's God's job to catch them. We don't give up. It's because we don't catch the big one. I'm going to close this story in just a minute, and I want you to hear this story about Luke chapter 19. I love this story about how Jesus was fishing. It's a story in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We find the story of Zacchaeus. Let me read you the first part of the story, then we'll keep talking about it. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. Jesus passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see those who Jesus was. But he could not because of what? The crowd, for he was of a short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass his way. I love the story about Zacchaeus. It says he was a chief tax collector. And what that really translates is this, is he was the head of the mafia. Okay? This is a very true story. Because you got to realize the chief tax collector in that day, he could do anything he wanted to do. If Caesar said, you got to pay me $100, he had the authority to go to your house and say, you owe Caesar $200. He gives Caesar $100, he'd keep $100 for himself. I mean, it was the most crooked. You think we had politics bad today, okay? It was the most crooked, you know, tax system ever invented by man. You know, as long as you bring us what we get, you can take what you want. I said, just pay. Charge them what you want. As long as you bring me what I need, you keep what you want for yourself. And so basically, the bottom line was he was head of the mafia, man. went and took what you had. You'd earned something. He could take half of what you earned if he wanted to. If you couldn't fight him on it. So he was definitely the most hated man in his region that one from their own would turn out to be this big of a crook. The Word of God says that he was small in stature. When that translates out, you study it, it actually means he had the body of a deformed little boy. He never grew past a child's body. And so when Jesus stopped, looked up the tree and saw him passing through Jericho, stopped and saw Zacchaeus hanging from a tree, he said, "Hey, Zacchaeus." That's a big deal. Think about it. Because Zacchaeus translates to the word pure one. And I can imagine this, that nobody had called him pure one in a long time. Oh, he was called thief, crook, mob king. I mean, he was called a lot of things, but pure one was not one he was ever called. He was called shrimp. He was called and made fun of for his handicap. But for Jesus to stop and look at a tree and say, "Hey, pure one," that gives you and I hope today of knowing that when Jesus sees you and I hanging from a limb, that when Jesus sees you and I out there, that he doesn't look at the mistakes I've made in my past. He doesn't look for the person I used to be. He doesn't look for the selfish man that I've been. He doesn't look for the things I've struggled with. He looks beyond my faults. And he says, "Hey, pure one." He calls me for who I'm going to be. That's the saving power of our Savior. He calls us out. Zacchaeus. What's he say? Something very, very spiritual. "Get down from that tree. I'm going to your house for lunch." We don't know what happens in that lunch meeting with him. They go and have lunch together. But we do know this, that when he came out of that lunch, he said, "Jesus, I'm going to leave this place. When I leave, I'm going to go back and repay every person I've ever stolen from with interest. Not only am I going to pay him back what I took from him, I'm going to pay him back with interest." Because why? Because something happened in that meeting. Zacchaeus refused to stay at that same level. You see, there's something that happens when we just cast the net and we bring the presence of God here. When we come in, every service, when we allow the presence of God to come and sit in our midst, and we go after God, people cannot stay at the level they're at. They cannot stay. They say, "Boy, there's something about who God is that reveals who I am, and I've got to change." And God sees me. Some of you here today, I want you to know this. God sees you for who you are. And he's not judging you. He's seeing past your sin. He's seeing past your past mistakes. And he's calling you pure one. He's calling you out for the person he wants you to be. That's the great news of our Savior. So the question is this today. Tomorrow when you leave here, today when you leave here, what Jericho are you going to pass through? Where's your Jericho? Where's the places in your job, in your community, in your school, in your neighborhood, the places you go to shop? What Jerichos are you going to pass through tomorrow where people are hanging by a tree looking for anyone to say, "I've got good news. I believe in you, pure one"? Are we going to walk through our Jericho tomorrow with our heads down, missing those people hanging? Are we going to pray, "Father, may your Spirit guide me today as I walk through my Jericho, where to cast my line. Help me to look up. Help me to see beyond my everyday routine. Help me to see my Zacchaeus. Help me to see those who are around me who need to hear an encouraging word of Jesus Christ. Help me to see those who just need somebody to spend a lunch with." We got to be tired of living right here. God has not called us to be a Christian country club, but he's raising up an army of believers who will fish, who will say, "God, I'll get out of my comfort zone. I'll follow after you, and I'll fish after men." Boy, if I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm learning to fish. What a powerful powerful challenge for all of us today. I want you to bow your heads for a minute. In the first service, we had a tremendous crowd there as well. And just many people responded to the word of the Lord this morning. And I believe in my heart, there's many people here in this room that are going through the same things in your life. See, Pastor, I'm like Zacchaeus today. I'm just needing to come to Jesus. As you're speaking today, I realized I got to quit trying to change who I am and just say, God, this is who I am, and come to Him and let God change me in His timing. Let God change me. That's what He's looking for. Quit trying to change yourself and let God change you. Are you here today? Say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, and today I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I accepted Him a long time ago, but today I just want to renew that commitment to Him. I haven't lived for God in a long time in my life, and today I just want to renew my commitment. Nobody's looking around, all heads about, but today, if that's you, you want to pray that prayer. I will not embarrass you, but can you just raise your hand where you're at, where I can see it, and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today, say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ today, or I'm ready to renew my commitment to Him. If you haven't raised your hands yet, I'm going to give you one more chance right now. Raise it right now if you haven't raised it yet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, guys. Many people raised their hands this morning, so we're going to say this prayer together. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you, especially those who raised your hands. I want you to repeat this prayer. We're going to say it with you. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you all of my life, all of my sin, all of my dreams, all of my hurt. I give you everything. From this day forward, I will live for you. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Messiah.
I believe you are the Messiah.
God's only Son.
God's only Son.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Yeah, come on. Let's give a hand clap. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, that's not the end. It's the beginning of a new journey. You need to learn to get plugged in with people who are going to support you and make you better and help you in your decision for Christ. Because if you go back and don't come back to church, you're not going to have a very strong relationship. You need people around you who are going to support you in your decision. So if you don't have a home church, I just really invite you to be here faithful. Allow us to love you. Before you leave today, if you prayed that prayer, stop by our information booth in the back. We got a Bible and some other things we want to give you to tell you the next steps you need to do in this relationship with Jesus Christ. How many people today say, Pastor, I want to learn to be a fisherman of men. I want to say yes to God's call in my life to be a fisherman. If that's you, stand to your feet this morning. Matter of fact, I'm going to invite you as we close out the service. If you want to be a fisherman of men, I invite you to come to the front and join me along the front as we close out the song. It simply says, I give my life away. I give my life to Him. How many say, this is what it means to be a fisherman? I say, God, I just want to give my life to you. My life is not my own, but it belongs to you. I'm giving my life to you. So as you come this morning, come on, press her in around the front today. Spread out. Come on in to spread out on the front. We're going to sing this song as a prayer of our heart of saying yes to this message. Yes, God, I want to be the fisherman you called me to be. I want you to use me. I want you to use my life any way you call me. Come on, let's sing it.
Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands, Lord. Your desire. give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my
myself away so you can
not my home. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Mi vida yo te doy. Te pertenezco, Dios. Me entrego todo a ti. Mi vida yo te doy. Te pertenezco, Dios. Yo me entrego todo a ti. Jesús, me entrego todo a ti.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
This morning, as we are singing this song, and even throughout the first service, I just feel in my heart that Guillermo, I want you to pray over us. I just believe in our heart. I want the seeds to be planted this morning through prayer, through you praying over us, that God would allow somewhere in the future of Destiny Church to arise a Spanish-speaking ministry, that we can have translators and people coming to church, and when that grows too big, we can start a church. How do you think it would be a great thing to have a Spanish-speaking church out of Destiny Church? Why can't we have two morning services and in the afternoon a Hispanic church come in and begin to have a worship service for those who are not bilingual coming in having a service? Come on, we got to think out of the box and say, God, we want you to use us. We got to catch more fish. And so I want you to pray over us as Destiny Church that God would allow the leadership and just to plant those seeds that somewhere in the future of Destiny Church to raise up leaders who can help us reach the Hispanic growing community that's coming this area.
Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning, this wonderful opportunity to be in your presence one more time. And today we come before you because we realize that our lives is not our own, that we belong to you. And we bring our lives, we bring our service, we bring our hearts, our families to serve you and to serve your people. In this case, Lord, we bring to you so you can put in our hearts to serve the Hispanic community in this town, to serve our Hispanic brothers and sisters, to serve your Hispanic sons and daughters that live in this town, that need you, that love you, that are hurting, that are broken, that are lost, that are totally disoriented, Lord, and they need you as much as we do, Lord, here. Please, Lord, put your heart in us. Put your heart for your Hispanic sons. put your heart for your Hispanic daughters in us, Lord, so we can love them with your love, so we can embrace them with your arms, so we can bless them with your words, so we can look at them with your eyes, and we can save them with your wonderful grace. Lord, I pray for Destiny Church to become a Jesus church, to become a Jesus church, to become a church with the heart of Jesus, to become a church with the arms of Jesus, to become a church with the eyes of Jesus, with the hands of Jesus, with the family of Jesus, to embrace every single culture, to embrace every single people and community in this town, in the name of Jesus, en el nombre de Jesús. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a special anointing upon Destiny Church, upon the leadership, upon their family, to love with your love, to love with your love, whoever, wherever, whenever, whatever you put in front of them, they will love them, embrace them with the heart of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Come on, put your hands together if you agree that prayer today. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We receive that prayer. We receive that prayer. We receive that prayer, Father. We receive that word. We receive that prayer of the Guillermo today, Father. We thank you for your presence that is here. Father, as we leave your presence, may we walk through our Jericho with our eyes open, listening to our guide of where to cast. And Father, we thank you, God, that we're going to become fishers because we're followers. We say yes to you, and we say amen and amen. Turn around to somebody, hug their neck, give them a high five. Say, man, it's good to be here today. God bless you.